Zion, Greenbelt, Zion, anywhere. We come to give God praise. We come to lift him up. It's in him that we live, move, and have our being. Come on, y'all, let's lift up a shout of praise. Anybody know that it could have been another way? You didn't have to wake up today. You didn't have to make it here today. You didn't have to have clothes on your back. You didn't have to have food on the table, but God is worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Family. Family, welcome. Y'all can take your seats. Take your seats. I praise God for you all. I welcome you all to this house. I'm feeling welcomed by your love already. I got to take a moment to honor the man of God, the shepherd of this house. He has been mentoring me. He's been a father in ministry to me for over 20 years. Amen. 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 Since I was five. Amen. I'm joking. Over 20 years, he's been a mentor to me. I met Pastor Keith Battle at the Impact Conference in 2000, the year 2000. And God has used this man to pour into my life in ways I cannot overstate. I would not be here. I would not be the man that I am, the husband that I am, the father that I am, if it had not been for Pastor Keith Battle. Come on, somebody give God praise for your pastor. Come on, let him hear it wherever he is. Let him hear it. Let him feel it in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all can do a little better than that. Hallelujah. Have you ever been blessed by the word he's preached? By his heart for you? By his love for this house? By his vision? While you're praising God, come on, give God praise for Lady Vicky in the house. Amen. Yeah. Come on, he don't do it by himself. But God has made a helper suitable for him. Amen. Lady Vicky, I honor you. I honor all the leaders of this house. Pastor Larry Page, amen. I honor you, my brother. Hey, you snuck in here on me, man. I bless you, man of God. I thank you for your leadership in this branch. I thank God for all of you and for all that he is doing. Amen. Anybody need the word? Anybody need the word of God? Oh, come on. That's a little weak. Anybody need the word of God? Come on, say, I need the word. I need the word. My mind is alert. My flesh is submitted. My spirit is willing. I'm ready to thrive. I'm ready to thrive. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, fam, we're going to hop into the word of God on today. I thank God for my family who could not be with me today. My wife, Pastor Dion, is actually preaching the word of God at MCOP, our church, Macedonia Church of Pittsburgh. She's preaching right in this moment. Maybe she's finishing up right now. But I thank God for her and for the assignments that he has given us. She's a teaching pastor in our house in Pittsburgh. And so I praise God for her, our kids. They turning up somewhere in children's church. Amen. And so I thank God for them. I bring you love from the whole MCOP family. Pastor Battle has come and ministered to us many times. And man, when he comes in, you know, everybody come out to see Pastor Keith. He's an awesome man of God. Amen. I got a word. I got a word from the Lord for you today. I believe God has given me this word specifically for you all who have gathered here today. For those of you who are watching on Zion Anywhere, God has a word for you. Come on, let's hop up on our feet one more time. Last time, I'm going to ask you to stand here in this space. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, beginning at verse 21. The book of Acts is the story of the birthing of the church. This is a history book. This tells events that took place in the life of the church, but it brings a perspective about the power of the Spirit of God and how he moves in us, how he uses the people of God to accomplish the work of God. We pick up the story here where the apostle Paul has been traveling on missionary journeys. His life has been transformed, and now he is traveling to preach about this God who has saved him. So here we find him in the midst of his travels, Acts chapter 14, verse 21. It reads, "They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of church members." No, that's not what it says. They want a large number of religious folk. No, that's not what it says. They want a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Listen to what they said. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. My God. I know you don't want to hear that right now, but it's not an option. We must go through to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith. Somebody say faith. He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. This is God's word for us, God's people. We give thanks to God. Let me pray for you. Almighty God, we come now, Lord God, into your house, into your presence. Not for form or fashion, but we've come to hear from you. I pray you'd meet us in this space, Lord God. Move by your spirit in ways that we don't expect, that we could not imagine, that will blow our minds for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seats in the house of God. As you take your seats, help me put a tag on this text, on this message for today. Look at your neighbor and tell him these words. Tell him, you're coming full circle. Tell him again, you're coming full circle. Now point to yourself and say, I'm coming full circle in Jesus' name. That's what I want to tag this message on today, full circle. I want to begin today's teaching with a video clip from a popular television series. This television series aired a few years ago, and it was called Greenleaf. And this show, some of y'all are like, yeah, I remember that. This clip is going to provide context for our teaching today. Let's look to the screens.
Promise me you're not here to sow discord in the fields of my peace.
Thank you. For what?
Sowing discord in the fields of my peace. They needed it.
Now I don't want to go.
And that's when you have to.
Family, this clip represents what many would call a full circle moment. Grace Greenleaf is the daughter of a megachurch pastor, and she is returning home in the midst of some turmoil and trial in her life. And as she comes to the steps of her parents' home, her mother says to her, "Promise me that you did not come here to sow discord in the fields of my peace." Ooh, that was heavy right there, right? He says, promise me you didn't come to sow discord in the fields of my peace. That was the series premiere. Now, years later, after much drama has ensued and many twists and turns have occurred, they are again on those same steps of that same house. And her mother says to her, thank you. And she says, for what? And she says, for sowing discord in the fields of my peace. They needed it. Grace Greenleaf, she comes back here to a full circle moment. She is in a place that she has been before, but she is not the same person she was last time she was there. Oh, I need a couple folk who are going to tap in today. She's in the same place she was before, but she's not the same person she was when she was there, because that's oftentimes what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to bring us back to places and spaces where we have been before, but he wants to bring us back there. Thank you, Lord. He wants to bring us back there with a different mindset, with a different attitude, with a different perspective. Is there anybody here who wants to come back better? My God, somebody say better. Just nudge your neighbor and say better. I want to be better. I want to feel better. I want to move better for the glory of God. This is part of what it means, family, to have a full circle moment. But there are some, watch this now, there are some full circle moments where we end up back at the same place where we once were, but we realize that we haven't made any progress. I need some real folk. I need you to take your church face off for a second, because I need some honest folk who can acknowledge, Pastor B, I've been there before, where I got back to a place where I was before and I was disgusted because I realized that I hadn't moved any further. Is there anybody here who can acknowledge, I've been there, I've been to the place where I was before, and when I lifted up my eyes, when I lifted up my head, I was confused because I had not made any progress. I had not grown to what I thought I would be. I was back in the same depression. I was back in the same anxiety. I was back in the same debt that I was in. I was back in that same person's bed that I didn't want to be in. Y'all ain't going to talk to me today, but I'm coming right down your street. I'm back in that same place and I hadn't made any progress. But I got good news for you. Sometimes that's the moment that God uses to transform. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing to me. To transform your whole life. Because the reason why somebody is here today is because you got there, you realized you had not made any progress, and you said, you know what? I'm not going to spend a whole nother year in this same place. I'm not going to get back to this place again and not be different. I'm not going to get back to this place again and not have more money in the bank. I'm not going to get back here and be robbing Peter to pay Paul. I'm not going to get back here and be in the same toxic relationship depending on somebody else to do for me what only God can do. I'm not going to get back here and be in the same. Can I get about five folk who can say, Pastor, I've been there where I got to the same place and God used that moment to turn me around. All I need is five of y'all to rock with me today. That's all I really need. Because I don't know about y'all, but I've been there where God has brought me back to a moment where I was and I hadn't made any progress. I said, I'm not going to let there be another 365 before I make some progress on who God showed me I'm supposed to be. You see, God, his desire is to bring all of us to full circle moments, to moments where we look in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm not going to stay here anymore. Many of us, a full circle moment is what happens when God provides a moment of clarity about something from our past. And I want to give us a working definition for the rest of today's message. Here it is. It's when God brings you back to a place, physically or emotionally, where you have been before, but he brings you there with a different perspective. Now, I said, first, let me walk you through this. First, it's when God brings you back. I didn't say the universe brings you back. I didn't say happenstance brings you back. I didn't say your time with your sage and your crystals brings you back. But I said, when God, the Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit brings you back to a place physically or emotionally. Because sometimes when God brings us to a full circle moment, it's not the physical place, it's the emotional place. He's bringing us back to an emotional moment where we have been before, but he's showing us you're not the same person you were when you were here 3 years ago. You're not the same person you were when you were here 2 years. Some of y'all, you ain't the same person you are when you were here in Zion last week. My God. Because I need a couple folks who can say, you know what, God been working on me this week. I don't know about you, but he's been working on me this week. So I won't hurt somebody. I won't cuss somebody out. He's been working on me. And God wants to bring you and I into full circle moments. Have you ever been there where you got back to a place and you realized, I'm different than I was the last time I was here? Because the last time I was here, I would have fell for their foolishness. The last time I was here, I got denied for the loan, but now they approved me for the mortgage. Yeah. Can I get a witness right here? The last time I was here, I had a panic attack, but now I've got peace because I'm in therapy. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Anybody, like, we give God a praise for therapy, amen. The last time I was here, I was smoking weed, but now I'm in a different mental state. The last time I was here, I was talking bad about people, but now I'm speaking life over people. You ever realize last time you was at the family reunion, all you had was negative stuff to say, but now you there and you speaking life over people and you realize, wait a minute, they ain't different, but I'm different. God has done a work on the inside of, is there anybody here who can say God has done a work on the inside of me and he's brought me back to places? Somebody shout out, full circle. Full circle. I'm back at the same place, but I'm not the same person. I'm back, but God has shifted me. And so now I see things from a different perspective. You see, while my wife and I we're spending some time at home in Baltimore. That's where we're from. We're spending some time in Baltimore a few months ago. We were riding around the city and we got close to our high schools where we went to high school. And so we said, let's drive the kids around where we went to high school. And so we started driving around right where our high schools were. And I said, all right, that's the football field. And that's where the gym was, where we used to have all the parties. And this is where we graduated. And while we were riding around, I had a full circle moment. And what God did, God gave me a picture in my mind, and he showed me sitting in my guidance counselor's office. And I'm sitting there while she told me not to apply to a certain school because I wouldn't get in. I remember like it was, I'm sitting there and God allowed me to see myself in that office while she was telling, no hate to her if she's watching today. I still love you, sis. But because listen, because she was just speaking off of what she thought she knew. And she thought that because of the numbers that were before her, that I would not get into that school. But she didn't realize I serve a God who goes beyond the numbers. She ain't realized. I serve a God who goes beyond logic. I serve a God greater than your reason. And so here's what happened. I was riding around the school and God gave me a vision of the guidance counselor. But now I'm riding around the school as a graduate of the college she told me I wouldn't get into. See, I'm going to take a lap for myself right there. My God. And God says, don't just praise for him. You ought to praise for yourself. Because if you think for a moment, there are some places in your life where people said you wouldn't, where they said you couldn't. They said there was no way. But the God of all grace, who knew what was on the inside of you and who knew his plans for your life, he brought you beyond what others even knew was possible. Come on, can I get a couple witnesses who can say, you know what? He did it for me. They told me I wouldn't get the house. They told me I wouldn't get the job. They told me I would never be married. They told me I couldn't be faithfully single. But look at God. It's a full circle moment. God says, that's what I want to do. See, I was watching a tennis tournament last month. It's called the U.S. Open. And the U.S. Open, there was this young black woman named Coco Gauff. And Coco Gauff, she won the U.S. Open last month in the month of September. And you know, at the U.S. Open, after you win, they have you down on the court and they interview you. And so, you know, at the beginning of her interview, you know, she went through all of the normal pleasantries. And she said, I want to thank my team. And I want to thank my parents. I want to thank everybody else who supported me. And then she paused. And she said, you know what? I want to thank everybody who ain't believe in me. Woo! She said, I want to thank everybody who counted me out, because your doubts gave me fuel to do what I'm supposed to do. My God. And so part of what she was saying was, listen, I had to come to a full circle moment where even the doubts of others could not deny what God had destined for my life. Come on, somebody say full circle. The reason why God wants to bring us full circle is oftentimes, listen to me clearly here, is oftentimes because he wants to teach us what we've missed, or he wants to show us what we've gained. Either we've missed something that he wants to show us or teach us, or we've gained something and we don't realize how far we've come. In Matthew chapter 14, there's a story of the disciples, and they are with Jesus, and he feeds 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. But in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus feeds 4,000 with 7 small loaves and a few fish. And it's not a repetition of the same story, but Jesus says, I got to spin the block on y'all. We got to come back around, because there's things I wanted you to grasp that you didn't catch. God says, I got to bring you full circle. But then there's another story in Mark chapter 4 where the disciples are in a boat with Jesus and they start losing their minds. They say, Jesus, we about to die out here on these waters. And Jesus is like, chill out, it's all good. I got you. And the Bible says he wakes up, he rebukes the wind and the waves, and they continue to sail comfortably. But then in Mark chapter 6, there's another story where the disciples are in a boat in the middle of the sea without Jesus, and the storm comes and they keep on rowing. Some of y'all are missing this thing right here. Here's what I want to show you is that the first time that they cry out to Jesus, we about to lose our lives. The second time, when Jesus is not even with them, they lean back and they just keep on rowing. What happened? God says, I'm bringing them to a full circle moment because they don't realize how much they've grown since the last time they have been here. So I had to put them back in a hard situation so they could see how much they've leveled up and now how much they're willing to press through. God says, some of the things I've allowed you to be back in or to go back through is because I wanted to show you how much you have grown. I wanted you to be able to look in the mirror and say, I'm not the same as I was in 05. I'm not the same as I was in 2018. I've been through the fire. I've been through the pandemic. I've been through the divorce. I've been through the grief. And now I'm different because of the grace of God. I come full circle. I come full circle. And as I'm coming full circle, the reason why I'm able to is because there is a grace on your life. Can I declare that over you today? There is a grace on your life. Show it to me in the scripture. You're like, what happened to the word? What happened to the scripture? Acts chapter 14, verse 26. They're going to put it back on the screen. It says, from Italia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God. The Message translation says, they sailed back to Italia, where it all started. What's happening here is the Apostle Paul has been on a journey, but God has taken him some different routes. He's taken him through some struggles and some trials, but now he's back to where it all started. Paul is back, but he's not the same as he was when he left. And the Bible says he traveled back where they had been committed to the grace of God. I need you to grab that, family. There's grace on your life. And whatever you are going through, there is a grace on your life to get through what you're going through. This is why in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, the Bible says that to each of us, a grace is given according to how God has apportioned it. Part of what God is saying is everybody in this room, those who have accepted Jesus Christ, I have imputed a grace into your life that is specific for what you will come up against. And the grace that is on your life is then what enables you to walk through the storms that are specific to your life. The grace that is on your life is what enables you to come to full circle moments where you can look back and you can say, God has brought me through in ways I never would have imagined. Come on, nudge somebody. Say, there's a grace on your life. There's a grace on your life. There's a grace on your life. This word grace, it comes from the Greek word charis. That's where we get our word charisma. And so the grace on your life gives you the charisma, the character to walk through where God has placed you. There's a grace on you. Not only is there a grace on your life, but watch this. The Bible is clear that there is a finisher in you. I'm going to say that again for the folk in the back who missed it. There is a finisher in you. Show it to me in the word. Same verse. Verse 26. Bible says they traveled back to Antioch, and it says where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. Come on, somebody say it again. The work they had now, they had completed the work that they had been assigned to. Part of the reason why God brings us to full circle moments is because he wants to show us that we have finished part of the assignment that he has given to us. And part of what God wants to tell somebody in this room, I don't know who this is for, but God wants to tell somebody in this room that there is a finisher on the inside of you. He says, I know that the season has been wearing you out. I know that there is a difficulty that you have been facing and you've been unsure if you could overcome. I know you said you would get the degree, but now you've been out of school for that many years and you don't know if you can go back. I know the marriage is getting difficult and you're not sure how much longer you can hang in there. I know that you're tired of the depression and you think it's going to take you out, but God sent me on assignment today to look at somebody and say, there's a finisher in you. There is a grace on your life and there's a finisher in you. I need about five folks who know there's a finisher on the inside of you, that God by his spirit, he poured inside of you the grace to be able to go through even when it's hard. That is why this same Paul would say in 2 Timothy, he would say to Timothy, I have finished the race. I have fought the good fight and I've kept the faith. He's saying, there's a finisher in me. And family, I need to tell somebody this. Sometimes you don't even realize that the finisher is in you until you begin to trust God, until you begin to look at yourself in the middle of the struggle and you begin to see, man, last time I was here, I gave up. Last time I was here, I tapped out. Last time I was here, I cussed somebody out. But the finisher in me has now arisen and his name is Jesus. Anybody got a finisher on the inside of you who enables you to push through even some of the most difficult seasons? Paul tells Timothy, I fought the good fight, the fight where I didn't give up in the middle of it. The fight where I didn't let all the naysayers talk me out of my destiny. My God, I ain't even preaching for y'all no more. I'm talking to myself. I fought the good fight where I didn't let everybody that had all they chirping to do deny me of my blessing and my breakthrough. I fought the good fight where I didn't let everything that I had gone through get victory over me. But I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. I didn't deconstruct it and not build it back up again. But I kept the faith. And I finished the race. Paul says there's a finisher in you. I don't know where you are, my brother, my sister, but God says there's a finisher in you in this season for the work he has assigned you to do. For the task he's called you to, there's a finisher. I'm almost done. I need to tell you this though, that the finisher in you is not just for you. You are not just finishing for you. Now, don't get me wrong. I know sometimes we got to do some things, and sometimes we got to prove some things to ourselves, right? We're like, all right, I got to push through this because I do want to demonstrate to myself that I have this capacity. But I need to remind us all that there is a finisher in you, and you are not finishing just for you. How do you know? Show me in the Bible. It's right here. Same part of the passage. Now we're in verse 27. It says, on arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them. Part of what happens here in this moment, family, is that after they get to a certain place and they see how God has brought them full circle, they realize, I didn't just finish this for me. I didn't just stay faithful in the marriage for me. I didn't just finish the degree for me. I didn't just stay on the job for me. I didn't just go through the depression for me. I didn't fight through the anxiety just for me. But I came through that thing because I wanted to be able to tell somebody else that there is a God who is able to bring you through. I need a couple of folks who will praise him with me because you realize I don't just want blessing for me. I don't just want blessing for my kids, but I want it for my kids' kids and for my kids' kids' kids. I want blessing. I want wealth. I want health. I want breakthrough. I want deliverance that lives long after me. Because I'm not just finishing for me, but I'm finishing for those who are going to come after me. This is why in Revelation, the scripture says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Because I had to get to the place where I could tell somebody else, I made it full circle. I came all the way back around. And God, in his grace, in his love, he brought me back to a place where I could tell somebody he's able. Where I could tell somebody that rain came. Winds blew. But my house was built on you. I could tell somebody that he opened the door of faith. Whew, I feel that right here. The door of faith, that's what Paul, what the scripture speaks to. Luke is writing about Paul. He says the door of faith has been opened. And I just believe we're in a moment right here, right now in this sanctuary where the door of faith is open. What do you mean? There's a doorway in this moment for you to trust in God more, for you to see how God has brought you full circle, and for you to live into that promise and that purpose. The door of faith has been opened, says the Lord, that you might walk into your destiny, but you got to grab it even in the middle of the storm. Rains came, winds blew, But my house was built on you. Come on, look at somebody and say, my house. Come on, say, your house was built on the Lord. Yeah. Come on, anybody can declare that? Anybody believe that? That rain came, wind blew, but God still brought me full circle. God still renewed my mind. God still blessed my family. God still opened the door. God still blessed my finances. God still covered my children. God still covered my daughter, my God. God still covered my son. God still blessed my marriage. God still made a way when I didn't think there was a way. Rain came, winds blew, but my house. Woo! Come on, come on, come on. Can we declare that? Can we declare that? Come on, say, rain came, wind blew. Neighbor, say, he won't.
He won't.
Just tell him, he won't. He won't fail.
He won't fail.
He won't,
he won't fail.
It's because Christ is your firm foundation, the rock on which you stand. Jesus said to Peter, he said, on this rock, on this kind of faith, on this kind of declaration that you've just made, I'll build my church. Thank you, Lord. I'm done. I just want to pray over you. I want you to receive this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, yeah, I want you to receive this blessing, this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you, Lord. We honor you for this moment in your presence, this moment in our history, Lord God, where you are bringing us full circle, Lord God, and you are reminding us of every mountain you've brought us over, every valley you've seen us through. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, Lord God, to reflect, to look back and to see your grace on our lives and the finisher you've put on the inside of us. So, Father, now I declare, Lord God, that there is now a door of faith open, Lord God, that these your sons and daughters by faith are walking into. I declare, Lord God, that this week and this month we are coming into full circle moments where we'll be reminded of your love and reminded of your grace. I thank you, Lord, that you're showing your son and your daughter how different they are than when they were last at that place. Father, I thank you that even though we are not where we desire to be, we give you praise, oh God, that we're not where we used to be. You brought us full circle. You strengthened us by your grace. We give you glory and honor. We receive the breakthrough. We receive the deliverance. We receive the full circle moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody give God praise like you believe it, like you receive it, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.